take their third straight Couch Bowl and second consecutive division title. The Transformers are better squad in the playoff hopes for the 788. The Fighting Justins upset the Mighty Horror Show. All is decided, but the playoff seeding, including a possible early What's On Joe Mind Bowl preview. Don't go anywhere. It's week 14 of the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football Desk.
So, is there a physical desk?
Yes, on the glorious What's On Joe Mind compound.
In the virtual studios?
Screw that. Let's get to it. Well, let's get started with the, quote, important ones.
Which ones are those, Mike?
Well, hey.
You're going to determine that,
let's
right?
Let's go right to Couch Bowl. A laugher. As Fort Wadsworth throws up 106. The Paris Dynamites only 26 points last week. The top scorer for Gary, the Rams defense, almost taking Paris down on its own. With 25 points. Also, Andrew Luck with 24. Jamal Charles with 23. Chris Borland continues his amazing fantasy run for defensive players with 15 more points. Debbie got nothing. Got 1 point out of Peyton Manning, which is kind of a shocker. Got 6 points out of Boom Heron, and that was her high score. It's pitiful on a whole new level, even for our league. She left Sean Sweesum on the bench. He'd have had 10 points.
I don't think that would have quite got you the cover. Clearly the under, and Gary in the points was the bet here.
Yeah, the savvy better had Gary in the points. Wasn't it Gary plus 61 going into this one? And it still would have been a winner.
The way the day started off with the poor showing by the Colts in the first half against the Browns, at one point, Luck was minus 5, and nobody was really scoring and doing anything else, and I was just really starting to sweat it. But she apparently saw the writing of the wall as soon as the 1 o'clock kickoff started. She goes, you're going to beat me.
So you have the Rams defense against Washington, so that right there, it's...
That was pretty amazing performance right there by the Rams for the second straight week in a row.
Yeah, I mean, granted, they're shutting out two of the most hopeless teams in the league, but you still, it's tough to pitch the shutout in the NFL, let alone do it 2 weeks in a row. You look at what, what the Giants did this past week. The defense actually did pitch a shutout for the Giants, and of course, you know, our buddy Eli can't stop throwing the pick six. So dumb things can happen that can sabotage that effort, and they've managed to avoid those too. It's really a whole team effort, so the Rams are pretty damn impressive these last couple weeks. But yeah, you had the Rams defense 25 points on 18 turnovers and 46 sacks. Andrew Luck with 24 had a nice recovery. Jamal Charles 23 as the only guy to you know, sniff the end zone significantly for the Chiefs last week. One of those solid efforts for 106 points, and Couch Bowl is yours, and the fans were leaving this one at halftime.
They got their replica mini futons at the gift store. Everyone was happy. Then they also got to leave with the division championship banner as well.
Yes, and how is the couch this week?
The couch is very comfortable. It's been about 2 years since I've had to sleep on the couch. And actually, ironically, it was the last Couch Bowl.
To remind our fans at home, Couch Bowl is named because if Gary beats Debbie, she will banish him to the couch. And if Debbie beats Gary, Gary will banish himself to the couch. That is Couch Bowl for you.
In the wind, my Fort Wadsworth Warriors move to 9-4-1. The Paris Dynamites fall to an even 7-7.
Next up, the Long Island RHPs went out swinging.
Oh, man, they scared the hell out of me.
149-67.
What did I tell you last night? One thing I do not want to do.
Play the RHPs?
I don't want to play RHPs at all.
Yeah, no, it's the Fear of God complex brought on by Rock Mastrangelo this season. A solid effort put in this year. His team goes to 8-6.
Two consecutive weeks of 140+.
Yeah, I mean, just beating the snot out of the end part of the season. Matt Ryan had a big night for the Falcons last night on Monday Night Football. 38 points.
Also the winner of the C.J. Anderson sweepstakes.
Yeah, also the winner of the C.J. Anderson sweepstakes. That is correct. Julio Jones is on his roster as well, stacking those points up. 31 out of the wide receiver slot. And I can't pronounce his first name, Bell, for Detroit, the tailback. 25 points in his weird point explosion for the week. So that's a big 149 for Rock.
And just to point out, the Long Island RHP's bench would have defeated Debbie 34-26.
Yes. Wow.
Wow. All of his players are hitting on all cylinders, and it's truly frightening what he's doing. He on a four-game win streak. He's done everything he's needed to do to win a division, just came up a little bit short. He improves now to 8-6, probably the number one seed going into the consolation brackets, but we'll see about that with Jamie's team. Springfield Teal Ninjas pretty much have given up on the season, fall to 5-9, and in last place in the Sun Bowl.
As we said before, Rock's just had he's had a tough year. A couple of early games that just didn't quite go his way. Really would have turned things on its ear and had you looking from the outside in.
Thank God for Bishop Sankey.
For Bishop Sankey, sucking just not quite enough.
Disappointing years for Alfred Morris, Giovanni Bernard, and Larry Fitzgerald. That's just three high draft picks that just did not produce on a regular basis this year.
Yeah, very inconsistent out of those three spots, especially Gio Bernard. What happened to him? Alfred Morris at least got his carries and occasionally would show up, and Larry Fitzgerald's had a few games, but Gio Bernard's been invisible.
He had one really long carry this year, and that was it.
Yeah. Moving on, we've got Millville improving to 10-3-1. An impressive 113 this week over the Duff Crew.
You know, pretty much a meaningless game for the Millville Rebels.
It is. It's all over for Millville, but the shouting. They're just trying not to get everybody hurt.
And they're now in a position, which we'll get to later, of fighting for the number one seed.
Yeah, they've got the kind of the traditional hot quarterback run with Ben Roethlisberger. Our league goes through week 17, so it's always kind of interesting to see who's got the players that are going to be playing for playoff spots in the NFL. Ben Roethlisberger will be playing in Week 17, so Millville is not going to have to make any drastic makeovers. Last year, Justin Bell won our league championship in Week 17 because he was the smartest guy as far as getting full-time players out. He won last year's championship on Nile Davis's big week for Kansas City.
Yeah, that in turn cost me my playoff run last year where they decided to rest their quarterback. And I had to go with Chase Daniels, their backup, and he just did nothing that game.
Yeah, turn and hand off, Chase.
Chris Brown's going to look for Josh Gordon to produce some bigger numbers with the introduction of Johnny Manziel into the starting lineup.
Oh, I got the fever.
As Brandon Marshall will be out the rest of the season.
Yes, that is a big loss for the Rebs.
Yeah, Brandon Marshall was inconsistent, but he was usually good for something. There's not a whole lot on the bench there, so we'll see what Chris can do as far as shuffling things around and figuring out just something to get some points out of that spot. But a big week for Roethlisberger, big week for DeMarco Murray. And whereas in the loss for the Duff Crew, Jordy Nelson, 26 points, Arian Foster, 20, and not much support beyond. Poor week for Mark Sanchez reflected there, and not much coming in the back end of the roster.
Well, though, 20 points with Edelman on the bench.
That's a tough one, but that'll happen sometimes. Edelman hadn't been getting in the end zone a whole lot. He finally had his big week.
It was a long catch and run for him.
Yeah, Millville improves to 10-3-1. The Duff Crew falls to 6-8-0 for team owner Ibidin Foster.
Just pointed out, the Millville Rebels had two players that would have defeated Debbie by themselves. Two.
Next game, Duke's Dominators 115, beating the Body Massagers from Jay Taylor 99. Nick Adams had a nice little run at the end of the year. He's only won one in a row, of course. He's coming off of a loss here. I believe he's won three out of his last four. He's put up some decent scores. He's doing the work, if not getting the wins for it. Led the way, of course, Le'Veon Bell, 41 points, and that's going to make the rest of your job pretty easy. Got 20 points out of Sean Hill, 24 out of the Giants' defense, which, as we said a few moments ago, had a really great week. I would cut them immediately because the magic is done. Oh, no, they got Washington next week. Keep them this week. They're going to look good again. And finally, 99 points for the Body Massagers, the way T.Y. Hilton with 25, and some okay scores beyond, not much help past that. This is a pretty tight game. This wasn't a bad one. If it was week 10, we'd be touting it as one of our highlights. But as it is, nothing decided here. Both teams are at 6-8.
And the Duke's Dominators bench would have just almost doubled up, Debbie. Almost doubled up, Debbie.
That's the running stat line of the night.
49 bench points for Duke Dominators.
And a disappointing loss as Kaepernick has just gone in the tank at the end of the season, managing 8 points against the Oakland Raiders.
moving forward, we've got Charlottesville and the premature confirmation. That's a win for the Keel Hauls.
Brings them to 500.
Talk about finishing strong. The Fightin' Uffmans getting the job done here late in the season. 28 points out of Jay Cutler, 28 points out of A.J. Green. Congratulations, Gary Godso. One more point for you this week than for St. Louis kicker Greg Zuerlein. Gary's been doing his squats, you can tell.
Well, I just want to point out, it's a bad week when Jay Cutler would beat you on his own.
Yeah.
That's a bad week.
That right there is two guys on the Keel Hauls that would have beaten Debbie single-handedly, as well as 37 bench points, which would have gotten it done as well. Cam Newton, 41 points in the loss for the confirmation.
That might be his last game of the year, too.
I'm afraid we're going to have to sell low on that one and maybe go with Josh McCown next week, as Cam Newton has gotten himself into some extracurricular issues. Nothing for Rashad Jennings in the loss, as the Giants have decided to save his legs for some reason. And really not much else going on. You don't need to describe a whole lot when your main guy gets 41. Nobody else got a whole bunch. Debbie would have beaten the confirmation bench, which is, you know, not strong.
In the win, Charlottesville pulls even at 7-7, and the premature confirmations falls to 5-9. Third place in the Deke Division.
Our holy crap game of the week.
Holy crap.
The New England Bazookas, 94. Jamie Creech of the Horror Show, 74.
What?
The Fightin' Justins improved to 3-11 with the win, with, of course, the path paved for them by Joe Flacco.
Where'd they get Joe Flacco from?
I don't know. It perhaps in a much maligned trade with the Fightin' Gods.
I don't think it was maligned as much as just looked like collusion.
All I see are lies and collusion!
Yeah, but that's not maligned. No, that's not the same thing. 23 points out of the Browns defense in that pretty strong effort against the Colts. Not much going on for the Horror Show this week, as they exploded not long ago.
They typically get one guy a game that really blows up, and it just didn't happen this week for them. They're sticking with that horrible Dolphins defense.
Dolphins defense put up the goose egg.
Andre Ellington's injured and done for the season. Justin Forsett had a strong second half after it looked like that injuries were pretty much going to take him out of that game. Dez Bryant pouted in his win against the Bears. Mike Evans had a bit of a strong game, but there was no standout. No standout 30-point, 25-point earner for them this week.
Interesting that Ellington was left in there when you pretty well knew that if he was going to play, he wasn't going to play much, with Darren Sproles and Alfred Blue on the bench. So I'm kind of wondering what's going on there with the Horror Show a little bit. You can't glide in at 11-3, man.
Maybe he likes the first round matchup against Gary better.
He might. He killed me earlier in the season.
Maybe he thinks you're a little weaker, Gary.
That's why I traded, to strengthen up.
New England Bazookas, 43 bench points. What does that mean, Jamie?
That means they would have beaten Debbie.
That's right.
Straight up.
Andy Dalton, 31 points on that bench. What does that mean? Quarterback who didn't play.
Man, bench quarterback would have beaten Debbie by himself.
It was Andy Dalton at 1 p.m. on Sunday, so that's usually a pretty strong play.
He comes to play at 1.
That would have been the best, Gary. Just have Andy Dalton play the 1 p.m., drop the mic, out. I'm not going to need anybody else today, Deb. I'll see you on Monday. I'm going to go be on the couch.
And we've got, in one of the defining games of last week, the newly dubbed Baylor Bears. topped Eric at Oregon Outpost 788.
This is the former Transformers Are Better Suck It Squad.
Yeah, as somebody is playing the little bitch to a glorious degree. Score there 84-77. Tony Romo leading the way, finally getting off your bench.
Wise pick.
26 points, Calvin Johnson and his 290-some yards for 21.
Welcome. Glad I'm not in the playoffs. Who wants this riffraff of a squad in there?
You sit Alshon Jeffries.
Brandon LaFell outscored him the last 3 weeks.
Well, you probably should have put him in there over DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins had 30 points last week.
Dude, DeAndre Hopkins has been
going against Jacksonville.
You knew he wasn't going to score 30 again.
No. I'd have sat Brandon LaFell simply because Brandon LaFell doesn't have very good hands, but that's just me. In the loss, Oregon gets 21 from Tom Brady, 16 from Martavis Bryant, 14 from the Lions defense. Only 77 points. Couple of goose eggs there. Julius Thomas, I don't know, obviously we're not signing in if Julius Thomas is still playing. What's up with that, Aaron Rayfield? You had a chance at a division here.
And he needs another defensive player that actually plays or something.
Only 16 points from their bench, which meant Debbie would have been a winner.
This loss was a killer. It eliminated Oregon from the playoffs.
It did. There was a chance at the division and the shouting match there. Jamie, of course, it just means he gets to persecute himself some more and cry foul about the format where division winners get to go to the playoffs. God forbid.
Clearly, one of the best four teams in the league, but I'll not be in the playoffs because of the arbitrary made-up system that will not allow me in. So I'm now the Baylor Bears.
You're not even the right persecution complex. TCU is the 5 seed.
No. Baylor's the 5 seed because they beat TCU.
Yeah.
Baylor's the 5.
They got that cupcakey soft preseason schedule. I thought TCU was ranked 5th.
Nope.
So as a result of that loss, this leads into the next game, which is...
The Pyramid of Touchdowns with the win captures the Deke division with a score over the FUs, 113-87. 30 points for Matthew Stafford for Pyramid of Touchdowns. Welcome to the league, Josh Morgan. A division winner in his first effort.
Very good, sir.
Impressive. 21 points for Jay Stu in the game of his life. 19 for Odell Beckham Jr., because if you're the Giants, what else are you going to do? Throw it to Odell Beckham Jr. 33 points for Aaron Rodgers in the loss, and not much else going for the FUs this week.
But just to point out, both these benches would have defeated Debbie.
Yes. Yeah. 50 bench points for the FUs, but most of those were Russell Wilson. Curtis Lofton with 20 points sitting down there wouldn't have made the difference.
Pretty impressive, nevertheless.
That's a heck of a score for a defensive player.
Yes, it is.
Let's see what was cooking there for Curtis Lofton.
Well, frankly, it's because the Saints defense was on the field an awful lot.
Yeah, 17 tackles. Must have recovered a fumble or something, too. So.
And I've never met this Josh Morgan fella, but he owes my household a beer. You're welcome, buddy. You're welcome.
We going to the previews, Mike?
Oh, my goodness. Let's take a look at a meaningless Week 15.
Not so much.
There's a light amount of drama compared to the last couple of weeks. We get to catch our breath a little bit.
So you've got the Paris Nanomites and the Charlottesville Keel Hauls for better than 500. Can you cut the excitement with a knife?
It is. It's 500 bowl. It's break-even bowl. The break-even. I like the break-even bowl.
That's, the break-even bowl?
Yeah.
Brought to you by Meineke.
Brought to you by... What breaks?
Meineke.
Oh, you're going breaks. Oh, gosh.
I'm thinking, okay, what breaks on purpose? Microsoft.
There's the IT guy.
And then we've got the battle, the only game that really matters. Who's going to get the 1 seed?
That's true. The 1 seed is up for grabs. The Charles Ellen Emanuel Memorial Trophy is up for grabs. The Horror Show playing host to Millville, 11-3, hosting 10-3-1. Winner of that game
gets it.
Gets number 1 seed through the playoffs and the Charles E. Emanuele Trophy.
Now, here's an interesting scenario. I was talking to Mike about this last night. In the event that the Horror Show wins and Millville loses, and I should happen to win my game, which we'll get to in a second, that brings us back to two teams who are tied for the number 2 seed at 10-4-1. The tiebreaker, I think we got to go 3 deep into the tiebreakers with this particular league and go to this team that scores the most points between the two. That's how deep we're going in the tiebreaker. That's an interesting scenario. I just find it very interesting that once again we come back to each other and it's all tied up.
Yeah. And of course you couldn't settle it on the field like men.
No.
We have to turn to math. Moving forward, we've got Duke's Dominators at 6-8 visiting the Baylor Bears 9-5 as Jamie tries to put together the best non-playoff season in league history.
Going for the 10th win.
Don't need to see any riffraff here in the playoffs. No riffraff allowed. Solid system for the playoffs. Let's not let them in.
I believe we had some 10-game winners last year not make the playoffs.
I don't know. I like the thought of giving Jamie that title because it fits him off.
All right, next game.
As Jamie refuses to settle it on the field, Jamie would rather go to math. Springfield and the FUs, 5-9, hosting 5-9. It's a game that may keep us awake.
This is a possible Chucko Bowl preview.
It's in the mix. It's certainly not good. This season's favorite punching bag, the New England Bazookas, first to worst, will visit the RHPs.
Can they derail Rock?
I somehow doubt it, Mr. Mastrangelo. Too much pride to mail this one in. I think he's got a fifth place trophy to try and engrave his name on. Really, if he does that and somehow slips ahead of Jamie in that regard, oh, won't there be some fun had? Oregon Outpost 788 will visit the Fort Wadsworth Warriors. That's 6-8, visiting 9-4-1. So Gary needs the win to have a shot at the 2 seed.
Yeah, and I'm shooting for a team record for wins.
Oh, wait, double digits get you in the playoffs? Well, not where I'm from, Gary. Not where I'm from. Not good enough. You were eliminated 2 weeks ago.
My goodness. Pyramid of Touchdowns, 8-6, will visit the Duff Crew, 6-8. And the Confirmation at 5-9 will try and pull even with the Body Massage at 6-8. We wish Carson the best of luck because we know he's still signing in.
Work on another quarterback, though.
Yeah, I got Josh McCown there is looking at the start.
Hey, Gary, if you could arrange a tie this week, that would be fantastic. 9-2.
Wow. That would mean we'll probably not have Jamie on next week's program.
Let's go to the standings.
We look at the Sunbow Division, 10-3-1 for Millville. Obviously had it sewed up 2 weeks ago. Paris at 7-7 in second place. Duke's Dominators at 6-8. Springfield Field Ninjas at 5-9. The Deke Division, Pyramid of Touchdowns, 8-6.
Jamie's heavy breathing is just enjoyable.
He's seething on the other end of the line.
8-6. Not here. Glad they're in. They deserve it. Well played.
He's got 8 quality wins as opposed to your 9, Matt.
Wait, I'm in the toughest division. He's in a division with like 3. He got to play the Bazookas like 4 times.
You're in the division with the team that won 11 games. He's in the division with Justin. Justin was the returning champion.
Hey, man, math.
Again, your math wins don't count as much as
toughest division. 9-10 wins. Nope. Don't need to see us here. Don't need to be here.
Kind of wins. Pyramid of Touchdowns and Josh Morgan, 8-6, your division champions in the Deke. Congratulations, Josh Morgan. New England Bazookas bringing up the rear, 3-11, fourth place. You suck. The Resolute Division, Fort Wadsworth, congratulations, division winners there.
Repeat!
9-4-1. The RHPs, a strong second place at 8-6. We're rooting for Rock Mastrangelo against Jamie. Duff Crew, 6-8, and the FUs at 5-9. Lastly, we've got the Renegade Division, the Horror Show at 11-3, the newly christened Baylor Bears at 9-5 and outside the playoffs where they belong, the Keel Halls at 7-7, and the Body Massagers and Jay Taylor 6-8. That's a tough 6-8 right there. I feel bad for Jay Taylor.
Jamie, I do want to give you and your team credit. If the Horror Show loses and you win, what was it, 4 weeks ago, you were 4 behind and have no shot to close with in 1 game?
I'm going to wrap myself out. It's on me because I lost to the Horror Show twice by a total of 6 points. So I'm going to feel real bad if he goes 11-4 and I'm 10-5 and could have had either one of those. Fantastic.
The lesson in this one, win your division game.
Settle it on the field.
Must be nice to be in the, was that the Geek Division or what is that? Where, you know, like 8, you know, like 7-7 would win it or something. Is that where that's at?
I believe the Geek Division winner has 5 wins. 5 wins will win the Geek for you this year.
All right, who's in the running for the James Cavanaugh?
As we said, the Charles Ellen Emanuele Memorial Trophy up for grabs this week with the Horror Show and the Millville Rebels. The highest scoring team, the winner of the James Cavanaugh Trophy right now is the Horror Show. 1,400 on the season. The RHPs, strong contenders for that one at 1,384. So a big win for the RHPs, a big week for the RHPs. Could get them some hardware. And nobody else really in that one. It's pretty well down to those two teams there.
It's a distant third place for the Warriors.
A good luck to Rock Mastrangelo as we want him to beat Jamie. But gentlemen, any thoughts as we close week 14 and look ahead to week 15?
Jamie still has the best defense.
We don't have a best defense trophy.
We should probably get one if we can.
It's fantasy football defense. Who would I name it after?
That's my calling card, man. That's my calling card. Everywhere I go, I'm really good at fantasy football defense.
That it may have to be Jamie.
Okay.
And if it happens, we'll figure that out in the offseason.
We'll come up with something.
Yeah. And again, this may turn out to be Jamie's calling card. This may be his trophy. In our trophies, we tend to only name trophies after people who couldn't care less. So that may, that would be what that would be. That would be points against Jamie in that one. We'll have to figure this out. We'll have to send this out to focus groups. That's what we do here. We're the Kingmakers, according to Dave Draper. We're the Kingmakers.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave knows the score.
Well, right now the score is 0-0. Everybody's all tied up.
That's true. It's only Tuesday night, so we can't even give you those partial scores that we did a couple weeks ago. Although I think Debbie is already losing.
Mike, just figure out, let's just make sure we don't get, let's just make sure we get the four best teams in the playoffs, whatever we do, because that's the important thing, the four best teams.
The four best teams are in. The four division winners are in, yeah.
What lesson have you learned here, Jamie? You've got to win your division games.
I was just trying to be one of the four best teams, but apparently I didn't know.
Settle it on the field, math boy. In years past, Jamie would have won the Jim Mora Trophy, which is awarded to the wild card winner every year. We did four divisions this year. It happens. Next year, we'll go back to having a wild card. Jamie will bitch and moan because he'll fall a game short of that somehow.
Can you give him the wild card trophy? Just
no.
Here you go, everyone wins trophy?
No. No. And when he loses this week and Rock Mastrangelo wins, we'll give it to him.
Okay. They're playing for the Jim Mora Trophy.
They're playing for the Jim Mora Trophy in spirit.
So, Mike, what's the motto of the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League?
Beat Chuck just by playing.
An exciting week next week. Check us out again. We'll have everything finalized. It'll be playoff time. See ya.
Half of that's a lie, but check us out anyway.